When the Torah introduces Korach, the first pasuk in this week's parsha, it tells us about his lineage. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kas ben Levi. That Korach, the son of Yitzhar, son of Kas, the son of Levi, and the rest of his Edahs, the pasuk goes on, rise up before Moshe in order to rebel against his authority, that of Moshe and that of Aaron's. The Medrash wants to know, why does the Torah stop the lineage at Levi? Why not go all the way back to Yaakov Avinu, Levi's father? And the Medrash explains that Yaakov himself requested not to be associated, affiliated in any such way with this rebellion. Yaakov was disinterested. Now, we can understand why Yaakov was not interested in being associated. Obviously, Korach is a notorious villain within the Torah's context, but we can understand why Yaakov doesn't want to be there, but why was Levi? Was Levi okay with being affiliated or associated with Korach and his followers? Or is there something maybe more fundamental, something a little bit more specific about Yaakov Avinu, that it would be more damaging for him to be affiliated and associated with Korach and his uprising as opposed to other individuals throughout Tanakh? I believe we can answer this question, and in order to answer the question, I want to focus on two different interpretations as to what exactly was Korach's rebellion, what was the source, the genesis of that rebellion. Two different interpretations, which I think end up in the same place. They are quite complementary, that of the Ibn Ezra as well as Rav Soloveitchik. The Ibn Ezra explains, based on the Klal in Mukta Mukha, La Torah, that Korach and his rebellion was based upon the rejection of the Bechor, the transferring of the Kedusha from the Bechor over to Bnei Levi. That the Bechor was, the Bechorim, the firstborns were jealous, they were upset, they demanded to reinstate themselves as the rightful leaders, spiritual leaders, the rightful individuals who were to work in the Beis HaMikdash, work in the Mishkan. They rejected the notion that they should transfer their Kedusha and their holiness, their capacity and capability to work in the holiest place in the world, order to Levium. They thought it was not right, they thought it was not justified, and therefore they demanded to reassert themselves as the rightful leaders and spiritual workers in the Mishkan. That is what the Ibn Ezra says was the genesis of Korach's rebellion. However, the Rav, or complimentary, the Rav focuses on a different element. And the Rav explains that the reason for Korach rebelling was that he lacked to understand the significance of the individual, but was focused purely on the nation as a whole. That once again, Korach reiterates and explains constantly how the entire nation is holy, kolam kulam kedoshim, that everybody is holy within the nation. If everybody's holy within the nation, why, Aaron and Moshe, do you exalt yourself over the rest of the nation? We all contain a certain sense of kedusha. And I think where Korach goes wrong, both according to the Rav and according to the Ibn Ezra, is his lack of understanding that individuals can rise above the circumstances that they were born into. They could rise above the fray. They could rise above the mob mentality that may be prevalent from wherever they are and make something of themselves, that they can stand out as a unique individual, as a great individual. From the Ibn Ezra's standpoint, that Korach's emphasis was that if you are a firstborn, if you were born first, then you should be the leader, was a rejection of individuals to overcome their birthplace, overcome their order in which they were born. That ultimately the Torah doesn't really care about who was born first or who was born last. Rather, the Torah cares about who has the capacity to ultimately follow in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who can overcome their family dynamic, can overcome the flaws or the impediments, challenges that their family may present, and dedicate themselves to the Ribbono Shalom, dedicate themselves to Avodas Hashem. And same from the Rav standpoint, when Korach focusing completely on the nation as a whole, that the nation is holy, he's denying the individual's ability to rise above that nation. He's denying the human from being creative. He's denying the human being from being able to rise above the fray, that if the mob is doing something wrong, that I could ignore them. That an individual can rise above any mob-like mentality that may be detrimental to his soul. Says the Rav, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen. That's why Aaron was chosen, not because of who they were born to, or how they were born, what order they were born, but rather because they themselves as individuals were holy, were accomplished, were dedicated to the Ribono Shel Olam. And so too, from the Ibn Ezra standpoint, the antidote to Korach, the answer back to Korach, is that we don't care about who was born first, more than we care about an individual's accomplishments, the potential of the individual, and the individual to actualize that potential. That's what is important in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam. With this in mind, I think we could understand the initial medrash about why Yaakov Avinu was disinterested in being associated with Korach's rebellion in particular. I saw in the Sefer Nachshoni that he makes the following insight. Yaakov Avinu was an individual who personified this idea of only focusing on individuals' greatness and having complete disregard for factors that are outside the choice of that individual. Yaakov Avinu, at least on three separate occasions, denies the Bechor to the oldest individual in his family. First, when Yaakov decides to buy the Bechor from Esav. Yaakov himself understood full well that Esav was not capable and not worthy of serving in the Beis HaMikdash. He was not worthy of receiving the Berchas Avram. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu felt, because he was a Yaakov Ish Tam Yosheba Olim, that because of his individual and personal accomplishments, he was the rightful owner and the rightful heir to Avodas Hashem. And therefore, he ignores Esav's birthright and purchases it from him because he knows that he himself is more worthy. The second instance is when Yaakov decides to transfer the birthright from Reuven to Yosef, that Yosef ultimately becomes the Bechor within the family, and rightfully so. Yosef is able to sustain all of the brothers and the entire world as a Moshe of Mitzrayim. Another instance which Nachshoni does not mention is that Yaakov's ultimate decision to appoint Yehuda as being the Melech of Am Yisrael, despite the fact that he is the fourth son of Leah. He has no right or claim to Bechor whatsoever. Nonetheless, because of his individual greatness, because he was able to rise above the fray, rise above his brothers, that is what it allowed Yaakov to feel confident in appointing him as the Melech of Am Yisrael. And the last place in which Yaakov ignores the birthright is by Ephraim and Manasseh. Despite the fact that Manasseh was born first, Yaakov Avinu was able to see the personal greatness that Ephraim possessed, and therefore he switches his hands and gives the prominent bracha to Ephraim, despite the fact that he was not the Bechor. Manasseh took a back seat. And therefore, it's specifically Yaakov Avinu who does not want to be associated with Korach, because Yaakov Avinu stood against everything which Korach demanded, everything which Korach stood for. Korach focused completely on the generic holiness of the nation. Korach stood for focusing in on birthplace, who was born first, something which was outside the control of the individual. But Yaakov Avinu, and ultimately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires from all of us, is to recognize our potential, to recognize our own personal greatness. And if we're able to recognize our own personal greatness, we're able to rise above the fray, we're able to become Yaakov Avinu despite having an Esav. We're able to become Yehuda despite being the fourth born in our family. We're able to become Moshe and Aaron if we're able to focus, harness, and actualize our potential despite the other factors which may be out of our control. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbos.